This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine, and I'm David Hunt. My next guest is a Joyster, who a lot of you will know because he's got a very successful show on a Saturday evening. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But he's also a songwriter, a producer, a music producer, and heads up a band that's quite big internationally. I am talking about the one and only, and I call him a good friend, and he's got the most gorgeous dog, and we'll get to that as well later on. John Von Allen, hello.
David, hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Now, John, you've just come back from overseas. You're in isolation. Are you still in isolation?
Oh, yeah. I'm halfway through.
Halfway through. Well, all the best. But the good thing is for somebody like you, you live almost in your recording studio, so therefore you've got lots of things to play with while you're in isolation.
For me, it's been kind of business as usual. So, I mean, I shouldn't say that because when you're in the studio with the outside world sort of blocked away,
So, John, let's talk about Parallox, your band. Now, you've just come back, and that's why you're in isolation, because you were in Europe, or were you in America when you came back?
I was in UK. We were in Manchester and London. We had a live performance at Fact 251, which is the old Factory Records nightclub. You know, home to New Order and and I think they shot the movie there as well, 24 Hour Party People.
Yeah,
amazing being in the Factory Records nightclub. They had, you know, so we had a live performance there at the Fact 251 event, and we also shot a video clip in Manchester last week and then popped down to London for a photo shoot and just managed to get out of UK in the nick of time with all this coronavirus going on.
Yeah. Now, where did it all start from for you? You know, I know you had a life before becoming a recording engineer and then an artist in your own right. So let's pick it up from, you know, like when you got interested in all that technology that I understand nothing about.
I guess really that all started at a very young age. It's hard to pin down sometimes, but I kind of remember when I was in grade six being sick in primary school. My dad, who was very, very technical minded, and he had a bungalow at the back full of electronics and radios, and he was always talking to people overseas in Russia and America with his CB radios and ham radios. I was sick home school one day, and he bought me this electronics kit from, I think it was Tandy, electronics, and basically it was like, you know, the little spring coils, and you connect the wire to this one and that one, and then you've got this booklet with 20 different configurations, and you do number one and you can make a radio, and number two can be a light switch, and number three could be an alarm or whatever. And so from a very young age, I was, you know, always interested in technology, and sort of my dad exposed that side of thing to me as well. I mean, plus I loved sci-fi, and my mum was always into the music, so there was always music in the house. And I guess somewhere along the line, I sort of blended in the technology and the music. And actually, I can remember I think it was December 81 or 82, I was listening to a radio station, and the Things That Dreams Are Made Of by the Human League came on.
Yeah.
But it was like the Love and Dancing version, and it kind of blew my mind. I mean, I'd already been listening to Kraftwerk and, you know, a lot of music at that stage, both my stuff and the stuff my parents were listening to. But it wasn't until I heard that particular song, something snapped in my head, and I'm like, holy, it was amazing. It was like a perfect combination of technology and music, and I'm like, oh my God, I can actually put these two things that I love separately and put them together. And it kind of made me realize that technology and music can work together, because, you know, you have live musicians and all that sort of stuff, but you know, to make music with electronics in those days was a very, very new thing. And when samplers came about and synthesizers, you know, there was this big uproar with the unions. It's going to take away jobs from people and drum machines, because, you know, these computers are going to write the songs all by themselves and we won't need humans anymore. So
yeah.
That was back in the 80s. So, you know, fast forwarding, I then started buying synthesizers and, you know, a few of my friends in school were in similar things. And so, you know, you get together with your mates and you sort of make songs and you just sort of, you know, mucking around. And it wasn't until, I think, the late 80s when I was working at a major hotel in the city here, I made a friend with somebody and he put me in touch with another friend who was also pretty much doing the same thing that I was. And we ended up writing songs together. And then he met this singer in a bar and he approached her. She had already released an album with another band and we wrote songs for her, and that singer ended up being Gina G, and the songs we did for her ended up on her album Bass Culture, and I signed publishing with Mushroom, I think, back in the late 80s, and all of a sudden we went from kids mucking around in the bedroom to having a publishing contract with Mushroom, and the song was played, you know, on radio, and it was picked up on Home and Away or Neighbours or one of the two, so still get checks from that. So that was back in the late 80s, and that's how I kind of got into the music biz, really, yeah.
Wow. And but then you have forged ahead you know, as a producer in such a big way, but also developing you as an artist as well with your outfit called Paralox.
Right. So it kind of dips in and dips out. So initially I was sort of a I was a musician and producer, and I was basically doing other people's stuff and sort of learning the ropes and, you know, songwriting. And I think at one stage back in the 90s, I was in a band called Nova. We were signed to Sony, so I was actually in a band, and then that ended. And then I went back to production, i.e. behind the scenes, working with other people. I did that for, you know, quite a large number of years, in addition to sort of other work that I do that's totally separate from music. But there was a long stretch there where I worked exclusively in my recording studio, Subterrain Recording Studio, which is where I am now. And I kind of reached the stage where I'd had enough of producing other people. And, you know, like we were very successful making money. My manager was getting lots of jobs, you know, corporate, commercial, record labels and all that sort of stuff. And then I kind of realized it wasn't working and I needed to get back to the basics, which for me meant being in a band again, or more accurately to say, making the sort of music that I like to make, both songwriting and production. So what that meant really was that I started up a band with a mate who I did kickboxing with, and that band was the 10th Stage, which ended up being like a steampunk, gothic, very theatrical band. And I think that lasted for about 3 years, and that was great, but then I realized it's still quite not enough and I needed to get back to my synth pop roots, and I formed Paralox pretty much on a bet, and we can get into that if you want to, but that was in 2008 that Paralox started, and here we are 12 years later and we're still going.
Wow.
Time flies.
Yeah. Now, and what you do with Paralox, you actually you are like, you produce your own music, but you also do a lot of, you know, like you cover Human League tracks because you love Human League, and I don't blame you for it. But you also do mixes for people over the years as well.
Exactly. So everybody knows kind of what a remix is when you take somebody else's song and you strip it away and yep. you recreate it. So, in the early days, Paralox pretty much just made their own music, and then actually probably was only really a year into the band that we started getting requests for us to remix other artists. I mean, I'd already been doing that in my professional guise before Paralox anyway, so it was nothing terribly new to me. But yeah, part of Paralox is, you know, we write and produce our own music, and every year we do a covers album called Holiday. Well, this year it'll be Holiday 20 because it's 2020. And obviously we get lots of calls for remixes. So, my manager sort of, you know, sorts all that out, and I'm working on two at the moment. So, and I love doing the remixes because for me, it's a great way to connect with a lot of other artists who some of them I know and some of them I don't know. They come out of the blue, but it's a good way to, you know, give other people the Parallax sound, and also for me to experiment with our sound a little bit and sort of, you know, stretch my wings, so to speak. So remixing.
Magazine, and I'm David Hunt. John Von Allen, you've been recording, and you've got a new bunch of songs, and you've got one person in particular who is a legendary sci-fi a performer who is a recording artist as well, American, but she lives here in Melbourne with her husband and family. Who am I talking about?
You must be talking about the one and only fabulous Jane Badler.
Jane Badler, exactly. You know, like, and I have interviewed her a couple of times over the years. What a wonderful woman she is.
She is amazing. So, I mean, I'd known about her since the 80s, and it's kind of freaky the way things work out in your life. You know, people who end up idolizing all of a sudden, and they're sitting next to you telling them what to do. So, pardon me. Yeah, Jane Badler sings one of the songs on Parallax's new album Genesis. So it's pretty amazing, yeah. So,
yeah. Now, for people who don't know who she is, she was in a sci-fi series called?
The Visitors, back in the late 80s at some stage, I think. So she played The Visitors was basically aliens come to Earth to help us. But, you know, something's got to go wrong. So, it turns out that they weren't quite as, lovely as they may appear to be. So not to give away any spoilers, I mean, for a show that's a couple of decades old, they ended up being, not as nice as they claimed to be. And Diana was the leader of these nasty aliens. And there's a few scenes where she just steals the show. Like her presence on screen is amazing. So she basically plays the queen of this alien species. And there's one particular scene where she eats something. It's quite an iconic moment. I mean, she's obviously been acting in many other roles as well as being an accomplished singer in her own role, which she's been doing for the last decade or so.
Yeah, because she does a lot of soul and funk and jazz, and exactly. You know, she's tried a little bit of, but she still is so popular because of this V series that she's often at a lot of functions, especially in Europe. She's really popular, isn't she?
Mm. I can imagine all the conventions she goes to, and they rebooted the V series, God, I think nearly 10 years ago now, but she did a cameo role in that as well as, as Diana again, as the mother of the main character.
Yep.
In that series. So, yeah, she's still very popular, and as I said before, she's been doing her jazz thing for like the last 10 years. So, yeah, very accomplished jazz singer as well. Like, there are some fans that know her only as a jazz singer and aren't really aware of her history, you know, as an actress. I mean, obviously they find out once you get to love somebody and find out what they do. So, yeah, it's great, you know, working with her.
And are you going to release this track as a single?
Absolutely. So we got together late last year and did a little promo video for Tears of Faith, which I've put on my YouTube channel, and I'll send you the link. And we storyboarded a video and we changed that and then came up with another idea. And we had planned to actually film the video in April, but obviously with what's going on now, that's basically been shelved.
Yep.
So in the meantime, you know, I was in Manchester last week and we shot a video for another single on the album. That song's called Goodbye Berlin. So I'm in the middle of editing that. So that single will come out, God, I don't know, in the next month or two. And then depending on what happens with, you know, the current situation, you know, we'll hopefully record, you know, the Jane Badler music video, you know, some stage later this year. It'll definitely happen. It's just a matter of when. Hopefully
of course.
This year. But, you know, obviously it's too early to tell with everything that's going on at the moment.
So. Yeah. And John, does, because you're using an icon like Jane Badler, is it sort of very science fiction-y, you know, like is she being, you know, like the villain-ish, you know, like a power person that she was in the series?
What you mean in real life?
No, on the song that she's recorded for you.
Oh, on the song or in the music video, do you mean?
Both.
Oh, well, in the song, she sounds amazing. I mean, I guess I'd say that anyway, but she does sound amazing on the song. It's a standard sort of pop song, electro pop, synthwave sort of thing. In the video, I won't give away the video concept, but I guess the one that's going to be a bit more spooky will be me, and Jane Battler will be a little bit more down to earth. And
okay.
I won't say anything more than that.
So, yeah. Well,
it'll involve a bit of it'll involve a bit of reanimation, and that's all I'll say.
Right. Okay. So, how can you find out more about Paralox?
We're all over social media. I guess a good place to start would be the official web. Oh, the official website. So that's paralox.com. Paralox. Got it. Never know.
Yeah, come on, John.
And also, I would probably recommend going to YouTube, because that's a good way to sort of watch the videos and listen to the songs as well. We've got like so much stuff on YouTube, it's not funny.
Yeah.
And we just hit 2 million views on YouTube not so long ago.
Whoa.
I'm about to make a big announcement about that as well.
So, fantastic. Well, John, look, I just want to congratulate you on an amazing career as a recording artist and then as a producer. But also, what's the show that you're on break from, because of obvious reasons, because you've been overseas from Joy? But what's the name of your show when you are on Joy?
Neon Nights. We are on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and we're still going. We're recording everything remotely. I guess everybody's doing the same.
You know. Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were having a break this grid. You're on still?
I don't know. We're definitely on.
Oh.
So I guess you haven't seen me around the station, but we're still definitely on. So yeah, Neon Nights. It's a dance show Saturday from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock.
Right.
We play basically, you know, like really current modern dance music. A lot of remixes. Plus, we mix it up and get a bit sort of old school with 80s and 90s stuff, and we occasionally interview a few sort of like freaking awesome icons,
yep,
as well as local LGBTIQ talent and, you know, amazing people from all across the world.
Fantastic. And the fact is, because you've got such a big following internationally, your podcasts do extremely well, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the moment, we're the number one most downloaded podcast on Joy, and I guess it's, you know, all because of the people that are listening to the show right now, and like all the listeners to Joy, you know, those people listening right now, it's,
yeah,
and you know, a combination of our fans. So yeah, we're very humble and very grateful. So, and obviously, like yourself, we love what we do and we love making radio. So yeah,
brilliant. Well, John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And apart from all those other amazing achievements you've done, you're a very, very nice person as well. And you've got a beautiful dog. What's the dog's name?
Oh, my God. Jack is sitting in my lap right now, and I can't believe he's been so quiet. So, yeah, Jack really is the superstar in all this. He's, like, so gorgeous.
Yeah. And on your social media, he features pretty heavily too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, if I got him into modelling, I could be a dog model in the air and forget about this silly music business.
John Von Aylen, thank you so much for chatting with us today on Joy 94.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.